Chapter 4. Trouble for the Titanic. I woke up in the middle of the night, feeling that something was different. I knew it wasn't morning yet because I could see the sky through the porthole. It was black with lots of bright stars. I could see the water in the glass next to my bed trembling, and I could hear the engines of the ship for the first time. That's strange, I thought. People were talking outside my door. There isn't any hot water, said a woman, her voice loud and angry. Steward, why is it so cold in the cabins? Asked the man. There isn't hot water because we need all the energy on the boat for our engines right now, said a different man's voice, obviously a steward. He continued, and it's cold in the cabins because we've left the Gulf Stream and we're travelling north. There's been an accident. Please go back to your cabins. Are we sinking? Said the woman. She sounded scared. We aren't sinking, but the Titanic is, said the man. She's hit an iceberg. We're going to help her. The Titanic is sinking, I thought. How is that possible? It must be a mistake. Everyone knows the Titanic can't sink. I waited for the voices to move further down the corridor and then I put my coat on over my nightdress. I checked that Aunt Elizabeth was sleeping and I quietly opened the door. I saw a man walking past our cabin. He was going towards the stairs and I followed him. Once on deck, the passenger turned towards the captain. He looked angry. Captain, he shouted, why are we changing direction? I need to go to Genoa. I have very important business there. You must turn around immediately. Captain Rostron tried to stay calm, but it was impossible for him. Your business must wait, sir. There are hundreds of people in danger on the Titanic, and I won't let them die. You can either go back to bed or you can go to the dining room and help the stewards organise blankets and warm clothes for the survivors. There is plenty to do. I didn't sail on this ship to do servants' work, shouted the man. This is very, very inconvenient, and I hope you are going to compensate us for the change in travel plans. I couldn't listen to the man protesting anymore. I ran towards the radio room and opened the door without knocking. Harold was sitting in front of the radio. He was frowning at the strange sounds that were coming out of the machine and writing quickly on some paper. Then he sent a telegraphed message, coming as quickly as possible and expect to be there in 4 hours. He turned to look at me. Is it true? I asked. Is the Titanic sinking? Yes, said Harold. Jack Phillips, the radio operator on the Titanic, sent a distress signal about an hour ago. They've hit an iceberg and they're sinking fast. This is a catastrophe, Charlotte. I asked Harold if I could stay with him, and he told me to sit on a chair in the corner and to be quiet. His face was white and his hair was wet with sweat, although it was cold in the room. He put on a pair of headphones and concentrated on the radio. So it was possible for the Titanic to sink. But I was sure it would take hours for a ship as big as the Titanic to sink. There was probably just a little water in the engine rooms, and the Titanic's captain was worried about the first-class passengers. There were some very important people travelling on the Titanic. Multi-millionaire John Astor and his pregnant wife, the actress Dorothy Gibson and the tennis star Carl Baer. They were just some of the first-class passengers on board that famous ship. Of course, the captain wanted to keep them comfortable. I was looking forward to seeing them on the Carpathia. Suddenly, a new message came in and Harold started to write again. What does the message say? I asked. Harold looked at me and read, come as quickly as possible. The engine room is filling up to the boilers. What does that mean? I asked in fear. It means that the Titanic is sinking quicker than we thought, said Harold as he ran out of the door with the message in his hand. I was shocked. I looked at the clock on the wall. It was 1:45 a.m.